Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I unfortunately have to inform you today that, fuck yeah, Doctor Who will no longer be a two-man podcast. It's just going to be me from now on. Me and Mike had some creative differences.
Fuck you, Dan.
No, fuck you, Mike. In the I'm creatively brilliant and he's creatively shit. Triangles with emotions.
Wow.
Wait, you didn't even have triangles with emotions.
I have one week
squares.
Off.
Squares.
How you doing, man? You're right.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Yeah, we had to have a week off because your face exploded and
yes.
I slept through Sunday. I just totally missed a day. It's great. And honestly, I couldn't be bothered to set up a different podcast recording time because Orphan 55 was fucking atrocious. Oh, wow.
Spoilers.
Oh, wow. Spoilers. We're getting right in. This is going to be
We're doing
two
a double bill,
aren't we?
Yeah,
today.
Okay.
Double bill. Double. Yeah, fuck it.
So why don't you refresh the audience's memory of the episode in question?
So Orphan 55 was an episode that I think is going to go down in history as one of the worst episodes of Doctor Who. I think it is the second worst episode in the entirety of new Doctor Who. I haven't
second
seen the classic
to
know where to place it there. Oh, the Forest Knight Capaldi one.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, that where Clara's like, hey, Doctor, you should just fuck off and let these children die, otherwise they'll be orphans. And that'll be really sad. While and she says that to the Doctor, an orphan. Behind her is Danny Pink, her lover, an orphan. And I just feel like maybe the moral of this story and the whole moral is, hey kids, don't take your pills. It's a horrible and nothing happens. It's horrible. I hated it, and it was the worst.
And this is second to that.
Second to that. It's not. I mean that. The forest one is like way fucking down there. Mm. And then there's like spacebar, 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 Orphan 55, spacebar, fear her. I quite like Love Monsters. That's going to be quite high. Fuck all of you. It was a mess.
So walk me through that, because just to put our cards on the table, as is always the case, I actually completely... I thought it was fine. I thought it was probably my favourite episode yet of this series, definitely.
What?
Of this...
What?
Yeah, these four episodes or five episodes now. No, four episodes.
What?
I preferred the spy episode. I thought it was some good Doctor Who. I think it stumbled with a very obvious spoilers, obviously, with the plot twist of it's Earth ruined it, and it's an annoying late stage addition to the script. I actually was having a good time and was enjoying the setup up to that. So I'm interested. What didn't work for you?
Every single step of it.
Okay, walk me through.
I'm talking like
walk me through
two out of ten. I kind of got up from that and went, oh, man. I made notes.
Do it. Let's go.
Mike, I've got notes.
Not.
I've made notes because I was like, oh, not podcast. I want to capture the anger.
Yeah.
My first note is, this is a story about climate change, which is only revealed in the end monologue. Because every other part of the story up till that point is about nuclear war. It's a radiated wasteland. It's war. It's all this war, and the war has made this place. And every single thing is like, oh, everything got warm, and then there was a war, and it's like war, and the monsters, they're radiation, war, and then at the end it's like, well, climate change is bad, and I'm like, no, what? Where are you getting that from?
The speech at the end was ridiculous, to be fair. But there was definitely climate change throughout, wasn't there? Wasn't that always a theme throughout?
It was always like. Behind nuclear war, even in the flashes, like when she got into the fucking future human. Incidentally, if that's what we're going to look like, I'm fucking taking that future because like those abs, jeez, I'd take that. I would have that. I'd look like that. Yeah, I'd look like the fucking Metro ripoff that was.
It was very Metro. Total ripoff the whole of Metro. Web. Someone did definitely play Metro, right? Like that was
even the monsters. That's like the Metro sort of monster. Okay. Yeah, it was sort of like climate change and then nuclear war, and it was like nuclear war is bad and bad. And I'm like, yeah, no, everybody's on this side of this argument. You don't need to yell us. And at the end, the doctor's like, right, sit down and I'm going to talk like a primary school teacher explaining the very basics of global warming. Just so, and I'm going to do it so clumsily, it gives lots of ammo to the totters on the internet who are like, it's actually too political now.
So... That's interesting. So I agree with you. Like, I totally agree. It was a really, like, overall thing. I didn't like that it was Earth. I didn't think it needed to be Earth. I think the whole episode works a lot better if it's just another planet.
There's a lot of notes on that.
Say again, sorry?
Yeah, there's a lot of notes on that. I got a lot of shit about that bit.
Yeah. So it's like, that I agree with. The speech, yeah, is heavy-handed. It's an interesting one that definitely Chibnall, and this is true of the next episode as well, after this, it's very clear Chibnall's going back to that kind of, this is a show for children, this is a school lesson, like in terms of historical figures, in terms of stuff like this. So when you say the Doctor talks like a primary school teacher, I feel the need to point out that this is a program for children, and maybe that's an intentional choice.
We've just come off of Capaldi's run, which was a program for just fucking people sociopaths. Who think Rick and Morty's just a little bit too light.
Yeah, no, that's, know, that's it. But I think that course shift is like jarring, but it feels like it's intentional. It feels like they're trying to make a show that's more aimed at the kids' side of the audience.
So I like to talk through the episodes to Rebecca, my lovely wife, as we watch the episode. And as we were going up to that finale, I had to wake them up. But I was like, look, this is going to be Jodie.
You woke them up. You were like, we've got to work through this.
We've got to get through this.
Sometimes marriage is work. Totally, and this is one of those moments. I've just been watching a children's program and I found it offensive. I'd like to talk to you. Now, I'm not offended by the content.
No,
I'm offended by the
tone.
It's the way they said it.
This is when the episode was still going, right? Because they just fell asleep watching it with me.
Right.
And I was like, right, here we go, because we are building up to Fire, Ice and Rage Doctor. At the start, we established the Doctor's in a mood. We've just seen destroyed Earth, which is the fault of the humans that are there with Jodie, and Jodie's got all this, Gallifrey's been destroyed, and I'm like, we're going to get that speech. We're going to get Matt Smith's episode 2, Nobody Human Has the Right to Talk to Me. We're going to get that, finally, that, like, fire. And then Jodie's like, sit down, class. Well, actually, time travel works differently in this show for this episode. And I just felt so... Because I was like, this episode's shit, but if it goes to where I think it's going to go, it's going to be, you know, there'll be a good moment.
They'll stick the landing.
Sort of bring it up. Yeah. But instead, it was kind of... It's like the gymnast run at the pole and then just kept running and then left the arena screaming, actually, climate change! and then fell over. Like, that was...
Yeah. Yeah, I think they could have talked about the themes more subtly, and I think it would have been more interesting for it. I'm someone who constantly gets criticisms because my games often include like mentions of climate change, to which I always respond, I write hard sci-fi. This is factual. So therefore it has to be present in a future version of Earth.
Oh, it's totally in fucking mine. Like it's I'm going to exclusively reveal a joke from my book now.
Yeah, go. Let's do this.
If
I don't laugh, will you be really upset?
It's only a small thing. It's only a small description. I describe, there's a January morning in 2044 or somewhere. I can't remember what fucking year it was. So a few years down the line. But I described as gloriously hot as usual.
Nice.
And there's a lot of bits like that. See?
Yeah.
See? Paradox.
So the idiots who say that things are, that stories are too political are going to say that regardless of how deep you dig on this stuff. Like it's if you mention the possibility that potentially all of science is right and the world's in a bad place, you're going to annoy someone, right? That's just going to be the inevitable reaction, unfortunately. But yes, it did feel like a doubling down on that, and it wasn't necessary.
When you piss off the people who actually agree with you, that's when you know you've shat it up.
I suppose
that's what this episode did.
How did you feel about the rest? I want to work through these angry notes of yours because I'm enjoying them. And I feel the need to relieve the burden of your wife a little bit by listening to it.
I've got a line here. So this just says, episode started with the mopping up alien cum. This was the highlight.
Right, so you're just being mean now. That's good. Carry on. That's next. Let's go. Let's roll.
That
Let's
was going. True.
It's Graham absolutely
Spino's
true.
Graham Spino's line was fantastic. So the whole new way of time travel working. We can now travel to futures that may or may not happen.
Well, that's because about 2 hours before they started filming, they realised they'd told every school child in the country that global warming was inevitable and there was nothing they could do about it. And they felt bad about that. That stinks of last-minute tweak to script.
That defines Jodie's era. This is the episode that made me realise the problem with this era of Doctor Who is that because Chibnall's bringing this... political, I did air quotes because it's fucking not, but he's kind of, instead of using allegories for political problems, he's actually directly putting the Doctor against racism or global warming, and these are problems that the Doctor can't fix. The Doctor can fix an alien Nazi because it's a Dalek and can blow up a Dalek and go, ha, fuck you, alien Nazis. But, like, the Doctor can't not, you know, let Rosa Parks have a really shit day on a bus.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, you're kind of setting up inevitability as a theme for bad things, aren't you? I think that's possibly the best point you've ever made on this podcast, Dan. I like it. I'm glad I was here for it.
Thank you.
Take full credit for drawing that out of you. No, that's great. No, it's a really good point, though. Like, because otherwise it would be trite, right? Like, if the Doctor made it so Rosa Parks didn't have to do that, that would be trite and would miss the point. If they fix global warming of the Earth in this episode, it's bad. So yeah, it's a very good point. They're setting up the Doctor to fail. It's good.
Yeah.
Good point. Let's move on. Next thing's going to be about like. See, well, probably back to Seaman, I'm going to guess. Go on.
Right. So the next point is. This is so many fucking.
You've started well. So this is the problem, mate. You've set a standard. You should have saved that one for the end.
It's good. We can bring that discussion in later. It'll be fine. Yeah. But so, whole new way of time travel working.
Yes.
Which is the Doctor can now go to future things, which may or may not happen. And I know time wibbly wobbly and all that shit, but this is like. That was jarring. It's like, it's Earth. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Maybe there's more to this. Mm. Oh, no, there's not. I don't like being set up for a maybe there's more. It's like, I'm assuming you are caught up on The Good Place currently.
I've not seen the last few episodes because my partner's away, so we're saving them to watch together. So no spoilers, please. Okay. It's a great, brilliant show, though. I've seen it up to the last break they took, yeah.
Okay, there's been another couple of episodes.
Also, don't spoil a show that's a different show than the show that we're podcasting about.
I wasn't going to, but I'm saying that there's a point. The most recent episode has ended on a point.
Oh, then you're literally just going to spoil the episode. Good Place. While we carry on. No, that's great. Carry on.
It's ended on a point where I kind of was sitting there going, this should feel good, but this show has dicked me over so much in the past that I cannot trust it anymore.
I love that show so much.
And it's great. It's absolutely great. And there's still episodes left. And I'm like, why?
Don't do this to me. Everything's fine. What story? Stop now.
The green writing told me everything's fine. But yeah, I'm getting that kind of that vibe from Doctor Who, but in a really different way of, is this actually important? Or are they just changing all the very nothing rules of the show? Because Doctor Who is a show with very few rules.
Yeah.
And having those rules break seems odd to let that happen. You shouldn't really let that happen. Mm. Chibnall's a hack. We're welcome to the usual.
I keep waiting for you to rename the podcast in your. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke.
I'm sure he's lovely. My issue with Chibnall is he doesn't give a fuck about science fiction. He just doesn't care about it. He literally has no giving a fuck about science fiction bone in his body.
Mm.
And it is evidence in every single episode he's ever written. He's never played with the format or the themes or anything. He's always, science fiction kind of his background for sort of an ITV drama with occasional aliens.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
That's kind of what he writes. So yeah, whole new way of time travel happening. They maybe just go. The bit that made me genuinely shout at the telly, which I've had a few of in this season of Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
I genuinely shout at the telly when she didn't go back and save these two people. She just left them on the fucking planet to die. The two people who apparently didn't recognize a fucking daughter. We'll gloss over that. You know, just left them to die and was like, okay, I'm going to now chastise you at global warming. And none of them were like, Doctor, there were some big fucking alien cunts coming after him. Should we get in this time machine that can go literally anywhere and go to the future? Because if it's a future that doesn't actually exist, why the fuck did we care about any of those characters in the first place?
Mm.
If they lived or died? Because this is a future that isn't going to happen.
I want to know if there's a pro... I don't know if I'm inventing this, but I want to know if there is a process whereby, you know... Because this was the first episode written by a different writer than Chibnall, right? Orphans,
Yes, it was written by... The person who wrote It Takes You Away last season, which was one of the best of last season.
So I feel like there's an editorial process that's kicking in on these scripts, because it feels like there was a good version of this that was about an alien world where there was an adapt, like the idea of a creature, of an alien, of a monster that is that grew up on a planet so hostile and evolved on a planet so hostile that it adapts indefinitely to things. You know, it's the Borg. It's a really interesting kind of set of archetypes to play with. That's got the makings of a classic Doctor Who villain, the adaptable enemy, right? Mm-hmm. That's a really cool thing. That's the Velociraptor working out handles. You've got a million horror tropes you can do there and a load of really interesting things to do. And I feel like most of my criticisms of this episode come from the fact that they shoehorn in it's Earth and then realize, oh no, we messed up that. You know, we've messed up, like you said, the lore, the rules of this universe. And that feels like a showrunner coming in and doing a rewrite on a script to me. That feels like a secondary process on a script. And maybe that's unfair, maybe that's not what happened, but it just, I don't think the version of this that was submitted by that writer, it was Earth. I really don't.
So what you're saying is Chibnall's a hack?
I would never say that. I would never criticize. I speak in vagueness and unspecific. You're the one who's deciding to make it personal. No, I think there's a process here that's I think messing up these scripts, because it's like if someone took Blink and said, actually, this is, we're going to add this extra thing to Blink. I'm trying to think of something that would ruin Blink. Like, it's the backstory of the companion's parents, or like just some other additional thing that you shoehorn into a script at the last minute to try and, because it fits some, because you think it's a cool idea. And this feels like that. This feels like a really good horror episode that would introduce a new creature that would actually genuinely be a cool, because that's another thing I'm dying for, is I just want a new Doctor Who alien that I really want to see the return of in an episode. I want to see something that I'm excited to get back. And
something with an ability. That's what we're lacking.
Yeah, or just a gimmick. No, right? A cool gimmick. It's the classic. Moffat had like two or three really great ideas for monsters, and they're going to be a part of the Doctor Who kind of ether for a while.
Yeah.
Same with even like Russell Davies, even that first season, like some of those cool monster ideas. We talk about Doctor Who a lot as sci-fi. It is sci-fi, but it's also horror. You want interesting, gimmicky monsters. And this felt like it was so close to actually creating like the new monster that's going to be really fun. Because if it can adapt on any planet, can it get off that planet? Well, if it gets off that, it's a xenomorph with a, it's a xenomorph meets a velociraptor. It's cool. I would like that. But then, yes, it's, oh no, they're just humans from a potential future that might never happen. And won't happen, kids, if you do the right thing and do your recycling.
Yeah, turn the light off, recycle,
Which is a shame. But I do come back to that thing of, I think this is definitely being skewed younger. And I think Moffat's trained us to expect lore and world building and mystery boxes and
science,
all that
fiction
stuff. And that's
characters.
No, I'm not. Yeah, no, it doesn't go that far, right?
Barking dialogue. I didn't say female characters. I said characters.
No, I know. I'm not being an apologist. I'm saying I think there's a shift. I don't think it's a successful one, but I think they're trying to make this more kid friendly or more educational. Because that was the original thing, right? With Doctor Who, was they were meant to be historical education shows, right? It was teaching kids what the Romans were. And it feels like that's what this is trying to do.
But that
like,
never made it to the air. That never got that never aired. It became fuck it.
Been a bit of the DNA for a while. I mean, the Daleks were too cool. That was the reason that kind of fell apart. But like, there is this kind of, it feels like that's being taken seriously. Like, it feels like there's a few, it's been a lot of episodes where the Doctor goes and meets a historically important figure. More so than I think in other previous seasons. It's more of a focus for the show now than it used to be. Which is the stuff that I'm not as interested in, to be honest. But I wonder if that's the intention. I'm trying to work out why they're doing this.
I think it's because that's where Chibnall's interest is. It's less sci-fi if you've got Nikolai Tesla and Edison riffing off each other.
Mm.
That's not science fiction. That's fun. Look at this guy who used to kill elephants with electricity, being a well-rounded character. We'll get to that.
Spoilers.
Fine.
I was saying I'm going to have a rival list, which is positive from now on. I'm going to write positive notes, needlessly positive, kind notes about every episode of Doctor Who, just to balance the show a little bit. So what's next on your naughty list?
On my naughty list, we had the... There's some things here that I'm not going to read out because I was clearly in a dark place when I wrote this.
The mistakes were made. That one. You know, private thoughts were noted down.
I have a positive that turns negative, which is the closest I've got to a positive for this episode.
Let's do it.
Jodie's scene with convincing the monster to get into the cage was very Doctor Who.
Yes.
Was very the Doctor. Was superb. Mm. I loved it. And then they just blow it up.
Yeah.
Just bang.
Well, this is what I'm saying about it being an interesting monster, because that's the thing, is I think a good Doctor Who monster creates opportunities for the Doctor to be the Doctor, right? Like, there's a...
Yeah.
You need some depth. It can't just be, for example, a large scorpion. It has to be something that's interesting. Just pulling an idea completely out of the air.
We'll get to the large scorpions that I quite liked later.
Oh, hello. There we go. So yeah, no, I agree. I liked the father. Was it a father? It's been a week. Was it a father son relationship? It was a son, wasn't it? The engineer.
It was a father son relationship that was absolutely fine, and then wasn't, and then I don't know what happened.
I liked it.
And then the kid
it.
Was like, "I hate you, Dad," and then stormed out to his own death, which is quite far.
I liked.
Like, I don't have kids.
I liked the idea of showing a useless dad in Doctor Who. I thought that was a nice. That's a nice thing to show kids, that there are useless dads and that's okay. I like that.
Yeah, but also, the whole episode was about a useless mum. Who was... The script fucking hated for some reason. I don't know why the woman who looked like the security chief actually ran the place.
Mm.
The doctor's like, so you've built this thing on an old abandoned planet and you're going to use the money to basically bring a planet back to life. And I'm like... Great, lovely, nice person. Then the doctor's like, and you're going to sell it for money? I'm like, where the fuck is that coming from?
It's the old, it's the Elon Musk debate in the Doctor Who episode. It's good. Her presence, though, did remind me of the existence of Russell T Davies' Casanova show. So that was nice. That's a great show. That was really good.
Okay, well, this episode was fantastic because it had Philip Glenister in it, who reminds me of Hustle, and I fucking love Hustle.
Hustle was very good. Does Hustle hold up?
That's very good.
I might go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I feel we've had this conversation about Hustle holding up. I swear this is...
Okay,
I got a weird deja vu moment.
My doctor of choice is Adrian Lester.
Because we talked about that about James Bond. That's where it was, yes. I should go back and watch Hustle. I've recommended Hustle to a lot of Americans over the years.
I think that I wanted Philip Glenister to play an older doctor, but with his brother, the one who plays Gene Hunt, Life on Mars?
Oh, yeah.
Robert Glenister, I think.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Whatever his brother's name is. Yeah, him as the master. I'd love to see those two play off each other. Oh, my God. Just sort of, we look quite alike, don't we? Yeah. It's quite fun. It doesn't matter.
The way Doctor Who is right now, we'll have three new masters by the end of the season anyway, so it's fine. we'll get to it.
I thought they were going to reveal that Tesla's the woman with Tesla, I can't remember her name. I thought they were going to reveal that she were master, because she just kept popping up randomly in scenes in a really weird way. I'd love a series where the master's just like in every episode as a different actor. It just keeps turning up and the Doctor just goes paranoid. It's really fun. Just not trusting anyone. Anyway, we need to go back to the episode that said climate change is bad that was filmed in Tenerife.
Carry on.
I didn't get the whole mum-daughter relationship, because the mum was like, hey, I can go to a planet and I can bring the planet back to life. And the daughter was like, I hate you, I need to bomb you.
No, I didn't understand that at all either. No, I couldn't get my head around that part of the episode. To the extent that I've completely forgotten about it. Until you mentioned it, I just completely forgotten that any of that arc happened.
It was the emotional thrust of the episode. I mean, the whole point of the shit dad and kid was so they could play it off of each other. That's why there were two shit sets of parents in the episode.
Yeah, no, I've...
Because that thematically ties into the theme of climate change because...
Children of the future.
Yeah, but the child was wrong in the other case because she bombed the place and the mother made the sacrifice.
Some mothers do have
doesn't work. You can't just say the names of British TV shows. You're like, well, you know, they say EastEnders. It doesn't...
Morecambe and Wise.
Oh, well, if we're going to say Morecambe and Wise, let's not sully Morecambe and Wise by putting them so close to an episode of this greatness. So, I fucking love Morecambe and Wise. So, yeah, there was about 15, my count, heroic sacrifices.
Which is impressive, as there weren't that many characters.
I think that was the... Yeah, there was... oh, God, there was the old lady and the guy as well.
Was the husband's name Brian? No, it wasn't Brian, was it? It was...
Benny.
That's right.
Scarred into my fucking memory, that one.
Brian's Benny. From space. That's what I'm thinking of.
Benny. Goddamn Benny. Screaming that fucking Benny at my face every fucking 5 minutes. It was delightful. I tell you, it was a delightful... They nearly set up a good dark moment. And then they completely botched it, which they do quite a lot at the moment, which is they were like, hey, here's the fucking, he's outside, he's running 37 kilometers an hour, whatever the fuck. And oh, now he's outside the thing. And he's like, hello, darling, could you kill me, please? And I was like, that's a cool moment. And then the old lady just went, oh, like she was in a fucking panto. And
it was very odd. That performance was very out of place.
The direct, again, I want a rule, right? Here's a rule. A new Doctor Who rule I'm going to establish here and now.
Go on.
If you start a scene, well, you have in the middle of a scene the Doctor running away from something, going, run, you must end that scene with a door shutting, a thing being locked, them going, oh, I think we got away. Some transition, because if you go from running to slowly walking down the stairs like this episode did like 17 times.
Because they were running out of set. Just... Because if you run too so fast, jarring. You get off the set. That's the Star Trek
just
corridor
so
problem. Yeah.
Just Star Trek, in fact, being invisible shields everywhere they needed them to lock people in.
That's true.
Delightful things. Delightful. But yeah, just constant stuff like really bad. And this episode, the second episode, started with problems like that, and then sort of they've filtered away.
Should we move on to the second episode? Should we?
No, I'm only like halfway through my list.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, I like that they did the reveal that it was Earth all along, which I did start singing some classic Simpsons when that was... You've got to add a little bit of Troy McClure to your day, I feel. Always makes you better. But I like that they revealed it again with the Made in China.
Yeah, what was that about? Why was there the double reveal? That was very strange.
To catch some characters up on it, but also to imply that there's a space China?
There's definitely... I mean, let's be clear... For all other flaws in the episode, there will definitely be a space China.
But there's a space China that's manufacturing things and then selling them to... Wait, who was in this war? Why is China still a China this far in the future?
Well, how far in the future are they? Maybe it's the nearer future than you think, Dan. Do you ever think about that?
No, because it didn't happen. Or did it happen? I don't know. This is why we have rules.
Maybe it's the past. I don't know. Maybe it's the past. I don't know. That's the twist. I don't know. I'm not going to think it through. I'm just going to put it in the episode and hope for the best.
Anyway, we had two people with parental issues. One of which who got with Ryan, who's somebody with parental issues. That didn't come up. We had the
this
whole
show
Gallifrey
doesn't
destroyed
remember
Earth
any
destroyed.
Of the companions' backstories. I'll be very clear on that.
It definitely it doesn't. Doesn't. Or I will say, in the episode where the Tesla episode, when Graham runs up to a guy and puts the thing on his hand on him or whatever, and however you magically detect someone's dead in 2 seconds,
yeah,
he goes, oh, he's dead. And I went, why didn't fucking Yaz do that? And then two scenes later, I went, oh, Yaz isn't even there. Yaz is in a different part of the world right now. I've completely blanked on Yaz. It's fine. Why did the cat look so shit? There's another question.
I thought that was intentional. So my theory on that, and I was waiting for it to be a throwaway joke, was that it's an affectation, it's a costume because of the... What's the cat nurses in that David Tennant episode? I was like, this is going to...
New Earth, yeah.
Say again, sorry?
Sorry, I can't remember what the fucking nurses were called. They were sisters...
Sisters of something, right? Sisters of whatever. But yeah, my feeling was that was like a knockoff. You know how like people who work in alternative medicine put on like fake doctors... gowns to try and look like they're doing real medicine. I thought that was going to be the joke, that that in the future, you know, if you want to look like a serious medical person, you put the cat ears on.
That would have worked as a joke.
I thought that was a pretty good joke. I was waiting for that to hit, but it didn't.
5 billion years in the future, like new Earth is. But you know, could have. I hate this fucking show. Why do I still talk about it? I just saw that. I went, what the? This is like this series, like. Because the cats in Gridlock and all the other episodes that fucking have cats, like, are just, it's Ardal O'Hanlon in Gridlock, and how can you not love that? They look fantastic.
Yes.
It's a really beautiful look that they went for. And then, I don't know what happened to cats.
But I think it was an intention.
Did something.
Because I think as well the fact that, like, the hair, the wigs and stuff in there, I think...
Hang on a second. Is this the future that liberals want? Is that what
Jesus
we were...
Christ. Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. We've got alternative people.
I'm just
going to
kind of plow on while you call. Yeah.
We've got all the people are dead. This is the future the liberals want. Was this communism?
Jesus Christ. What was I going to say? I've forgotten because of, you know, the right-wing agenda that you're pushing on our podcast.
I voted green. You can go to fucking hell.
You may have voted green. No, what's his name? What was I going to say? No, I think it was an intentional choice. I think they wanted the alieniness of everyone in this episode to look a bit cheap. And I don't know if that was somehow tied to the whole idea of their living on an awful planet. But there was definitely like a tackiness to all of the costume design and creature design that I feel was intentional.
The guy with the green hair teleported in to the planet. He didn't live there. He worked. He was just doing a job there.
Oh, then in which case I'm full of shit.
Well, we all knew that, Mike. Yeah, there was
Oh, maybe I'm trying to look again, looking for meaning where there isn't any. Yeah, story.
The costume director's just fucking fed up. You want what, a fucking cat again? Ah, fuck it. Or the costume director saw the film Cats just before they had to make the costume for this. Went, fuck it, we'll do it with eyeliner.
Like the standards have dropped. People's expectations are lowered. We can get away with this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, anyway. Yeah, I don't know why it had to be Earth. An alien world would have been so much better because you can still draw parallels from one thing to another. That's how sci-fi works. Oh. And then, yeah, I really enjoy, sorry, just a line here I've written, which is shit cat from a series with previously great cats. we had an interesting Chekhov's gun setup. And it was one of the more interesting uses because we had hallucinogenic worms.
Yes.
That give you hallucinations. Loads of monsters all over the place. Mm. And I'm like, here we fucking go. What are the hallucinogenic worms used
Nothing.
For? Oh, they transport Bevelium 3 into Trizillium 4.
Which I remember is dropped in an incredibly clunky way. I can't remember the exact line, but it was something along the lines of, you know what they're for? They're for the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah.
They can, the little kid, just to prove his worth, is like, actually, they can be used to transport Debrillion 3. All right.
Great.
I thought they just made you see bats. But fuck it, why not? Let's do that thing.
But I do feel like stuff like that does lead into my theory of, like, there were thematic stuff going on in this, an earlier stage. There were choices made that were kind of... That we're doing something. I feel like, and this is true of a lot of the episodes of Doctor Who nowadays, it feels like a lot of jokes where someone's deleted two words out of the punchline. Like, it just feels like a lot of kind of, they were going for something, but then that just got removed.
More like it feels like they've added jokes to the punchline and just...
like overloaded it.
Split it and... it just doesn't quite... They've, you know, they keep stinging their own jokes and not quite work.
Dan, are we not Doctor Who fans anymore? Do we need to face
really
up
like
to this?
The Tesla episode, so we're going to get to that in a second. And I have an example. I did a stream on Wattam the other day, and I called it What Am I Playing? Classic
solid
pun.
Joke.
But the first time when I wrote it out, because I was just zoned out because I'm doing a live stream and I don't need to put any effort in, I wrote...
It's an easy
what
job.
What the hell am I playing? And I went, that's a pun. And then went, oh, that doesn't fucking work. What the fuck am I playing at? And it feels like... And then I was like, delete, delete, delete. Made the joke work. I feel like all these scripts are going through some sort of like unfunny robot. And just... his name is Chris Chibnall. And he's just... They're just going... Yeah, if that joke could be just somewhat slower so we can, speed the cuts up and not give anything... It's a really... overly fast-paced show at the moment.
With way too many plot twists, right? Like, and I felt that. I'm losing track of it when I watch it. And it feels like the strongest episodes of Doctor Who have always been the ones that are a really fun, meaty idea told in a very straightforward way. And it's, there's a lot of needless kind of storytelling I associate with kind of like bad 80s thrillers where you have to have a plot twist every 5 minutes for no reason, but just to throw you off, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go into some good episodes. Stuff like Family of Blood, Human Nature. There are monsters. The Doctor's in hiding. Monsters want to find the Doctor. The Doctor has to be human. Go. Two episodes out.
Yeah.
And in this one was like, there's a planet and there's this, and actually their parents, and actually their parents, and this person here, it's Earth all along.
And do you know what? That also plays into our criticism of the companions not doing much story-wise, because that's the stuff that's, the space that's being taken up by all those, all of that plotting, not really going anywhere, is your character beats, is your moments of characterization for them, and growth, and all this stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we did have, although the reason this episode gets a 2 out of 10 for me... no higher, no fucking higher, is it had my favourite Jodie line in it so far.
Go on.
Which someone said they couldn't build it out of scratch, and Jodie just looks at them and goes, if I had crayons and half a can of Spam, I could build a U from scratch. Which is such a wonderful put down, but also not actually insulting, just a look how brilliant I am kind of one. The ones the Doctor is good for.
Yeah.
That was Orphan 55. I have nothing else to say on it. I've deleted a few notes and gone, okay, that's enough.
That's enough.
I just sat back. As soon as the episode finished, I was like, oh man, I really hope Mike's jaw's hurting a lot, so we don't have to talk about that for a while.
You've processed it. You know what? For me, you've not convinced me to completely change around on it. Like, I think all your criticisms are fair, but for me, it was the episode so far this season that's felt the most like an episode of Doctor Who to me. It had monsters that were interesting.
It felt like classic Who. It was split four ways. It was sort of like when they immediately got to the resort, there was no downtime in the resort. It was problems immediately, which just didn't really rub well for me. But
again, it's that fast-paced plot thing kind of coming in. Yeah.
But yeah, it was like in the resort stuff, and then like you had your fucking, going out on the adventure, coming back. You know, it felt like, I can't remember where the splits were because I genuinely blanked out most of it. In the tunnels and then back at the spa. Mm. It was like classic Who. It was the four episodes set in four different locations. Mm-hmm. And then sort of like that big story that kind of went through like that. It was very sort of classic Who in its storytelling.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was drawn to it. It was definitely imperfect in that, and I hated the It's Earth, because I just don't think that served the story or helped it at all. But no, I'm still into it. It sounds like you might be into it a bit more now. You've kind of...
No, I loathe it.
I've not convinced you.
It makes me angry.
Okay, fair enough.
No, if you say anything good, I'm like, time travel. They changed time travel. I'm like, yeah, they did change time travel, didn't they? Fucking that! And then I just... I just loop in on myself. The cats look shit. The cats did look shit.
Yeah, I've got that. My brilliantly clever excuse for the cats does not hold water, and I will grant you that.
No, that would have been brilliant. Literally, if you've got that design and you go, oh, actually, let's just say, are you dressed up like a cat nurse? Well, yeah, thank you. You know, they're the best nurses in the galaxy.
Exactly. Yeah, puts people at ease. It's a good. Exactly like the idea. In the same way as like a habit would make people at ease in a medical situation 50 years ago. Now it's a, you know, like a white or green lab coat kind of thing.
Second, when you said a habit, I was thinking about fucking house. Or just a truck habit. I'm like, well, that would make you feel like, well, 50 years ago, maybe, yeah. 50 years ago was the 70s. Let's just let that one fucking settle.
Oh, wow,
for a
that's
while.
Painful. Let's move the fuck on now.
Episode 2, an episode all week I've been calling Nikolai Tesla's Tower of Terror when it's Night of Terror. Still a great fucking title. That's a title.
That is a good title.
Next week we've got the Prisoners of the Jadoon. That's an episode title.
That's a good title as well.
Orphan 55, Spyfall's a trash. Fuck that. But I really like today's episode. 7 out of 10 territory for me.
You know what? Like, for me, I think the stuff I liked most about it was... I just couldn't take my eyes off the guy playing Tesla. I need to look him up. Yeah. He was incredible. He was performing in a much better show than Doctor Who's been this season. No one told
The Capaldi criticism, yeah.
Like he was genuinely fantastic. The plotting I didn't love. It was a standard kind of run away from the thing. Oh, they've kidnapped us. Okay, now it didn't. The story did nothing for me, but yeah, that the kind of the depiction of a character like Tesla, I thought was I enjoyed hanging out in that world for an hour. That's fair.
See, for me, it hit that sort of baseline of this is actually a competently structured episode. This is actually how you tell a story. This is a story that I can follow because we're not introducing 17 different people or who are related to each other. You know, it's there's a real sort of. It just felt like a very back to basics. Okay,
it did chill out. Didn't do it? This. It did slow down and tell a story. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
As soon as we got through that first bit, incidentally, why was the credits at the start and why wasn't the credits between them running away and then appearing on the train, which was just a horrible jump that literally could have been alleviated by having a nice stinger there?
Huh. Yeah.
But they wanted to keep that chase momentum up, I'm guessing, which I really didn't. The start of this episode had that sort of, again, the constant jumps and the thing. And he's being chased. There's another person. Here's a dead person. Everyone's got a mustache and looks the same. I can't tell them apart. Is this someone I'm supposed to recognize? I don't know. I didn't get the start. But after about 10, 15 minutes, the episode did settle into an actual episode of Doctor Who. And I'm like, oh, I like this show. I remember now this is a show that I thoroughly enjoy. Mm. Tesla was absolutely fantastic. Edison, I really enjoyed because
Philip Glynnister back. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, it's quite a while. I mean, giving him that role of villain, but not really villain.
Yeah,
I enjoyed.
Well,
I enjoyed that Edison wasn't the mwahaharing bad guy. He actually brought his. You know, they gave him that. He's like, I'm actually make something. I'm the guy who actually turns things and make it. And we are in the creative industry. How many people have you decided you absolutely loathe because they come up to you and go, I've got a great idea. And they give you, idea people. Mike, idea people. Do we want the idea people to die? We want the idea people to die, Mike.
Wow. I've been roped into an ideology here, which I cannot support.
Look, people who are like, oh, I wish people would just pay me to give them ideas. Oh, just die in a fire. Honestly, you're worthless to the human race. You know, everyone's got a million brilliant ideas. You need to just make shit. Someone who makes something shit is better than people who haven't done anything. That's why the writers of shit episodes of Doctor Who are better than this terrible fucking excuse for a podcast.
I am not fully agree with all of the points being made by Dan right now. I don't know if I agree with your reading of Tesla and Edison, but yeah.
Well, Tesla wasn't the idea guy. No, Tesla is the sort of that. There wasn't an ideas guy.
No,
the ideas guy was
shit.
Forgotten by
he
history.
Was like some of the stuff.
Tesla invented shit, but was Edison was a fucking businessman and a really fucking good businessman.
Fiendishly
and,
so,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, real fucking good. And he did a lot of. I mean, I enjoyed that he cared when his guy died. I thought that was a. You know, I had dinner with his family recently. Just a throwaway line, but it gave so much. This is what happens when you actually have fantastic actors in Doctor Who. Although we do that every fucking week with Jodie. It's what happens when you give them lines that are useful. Jim was a hack. It's just really.
Was this a Chibnall episode? Who wrote this one?
No. I don't know. I think it was somebody new.
Because, I mean, Tesla.
Sure, I didn't recognize the name of the story.
We're giving a lot of credit to the actor, and rightly so. He was brilliant. But he had some good lines as well. Like, that was a well written character.
Yeah.
That was a nice, like you say, there's depth to it. It would be very easy to make this episode, and Tesla's the heroic idiot, and Edison's the mean, you know, horrible man. And you're actually like, no, they're gonna show us the flip side of both of those ideologies and both of those approaches. So it was interesting. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Even the companions all got bits to do. I don't think Yaz did. Yaz got
a little bit.
At some point.
She got a little.
Yaz got a little bit. But I enjoyed Ryan. I enjoyed Ryan in this episode.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy them not knowing who the fuck Tesla was. I nearly threw something at the telly at that point. I'm like, you youthful kids, why do you not know who Tesla is?
I did like it that they that they did the Elon Musk joke. I thought that was quite like, because that is probably what the average kid associates with Tesla now, if anything. I got to see
It's like, fuck.
I got to see at the Greenwich Observatory in LA. They have like a Tesla coil and Tesla cage stuff, and it was amazing. So it's incredible stuff. Have you ever actually seen one of those in person?
No, I've always.
It's astonishing.
Now, I will say, I was kind of, because going into it, Tesla's a hell of a big role for me, because the best portrayal of Tesla in film and television is, of course, Mr. David Bowie in The Prestige.
That's a read, for sure. No, it was good. No, I liked it. But, yeah, very much playing a fictionalized version, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he fucking invented a cloning machine, mate. you know,
this
is mad shit
happened to this film. You know what? It just felt, and I don't know if this is true, but it felt like the actor had actually, like, it felt researched. It felt like this guy's read a book about Tesla. Like, there was just enough depth to the performance. I was like, this guy's actually taking this job seriously, and I respect it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, definitely.
Goran Visnjic, he's a Croatian.
He's really, really just properly captivating.
Yeah, he's on my list now of people I wouldn't mind working with at some point. He was fantastic.
That's always a good... When somebody gets on Mike's list, that's always the best sign for this podcast. Because two things about that is, one, it just shows it's a great episode, and two, it's spoilers for latest Mike's work, because he's always fucking got someone. Is that a Klingon logo on the underside of whatever fucking cup you just...
I'm drinking from an official Klingon mug, yeah. This is a Klingon mug. Actually... The lip of it is like a, not a blade, but like a sharp enough point that it hurts a little bit. It's a Klingon drinking.
Are you drinking prune juice? It is a warrior's drink.
I am drinking like black currant squash, which is not a million miles away. But yeah, this is a DS9 prop replica. There you go. Or I think it's next gen, actually, this one. Oh, so I've got a Rakta. I want to get one of the Rakta Geno mugs, the fat bottom.
Oh yeah, I know the ones you have. I got for my 30th, I got the plates they have cake off of, like weird shape, not like softened triangle ones from Next Generation, which and they made me a cake that was in the shape of a uniform so I could put my head at the end of it, like that one bit with when everyone's having nightmares.
I'll read Klingon, but that says something.
I can read Klingon. That says, oh, it's rude, you don't know.
They're a horrible species. But yeah, no, I'm just looking at his stuff. He's not been in much... English language stuff. Oh, well, no, he was in ER. Wow, ER. Do you remember ER? That was a show.
Never watched it. You have to do a fuck yeah ER podcast by the look on your face there right now.
I used to love ER back in the day. Oh, a bit of Michael Crichton TV. That's what the world needed.
Well, I have never seen it.
It's probably aged terribly. It was George Clooney's big thing, wasn't it? It launched his career.
George Clooney launched his career. I just assumed he was here from the start.
In the beginning, there was the sun and the moon and George Clooney, yeah.
Like William Shatner. You watch any black and white film and William Shatner will appear in it. Just pop up. So I'm not having any money. It's great. fucking hell. So, well, what the fuck was we talking about?
Oh, he was Madonna's boyfriend at one point, apparently.
Oh.
There you go. I'm sorry, I'm just Googling this man now.
You're trying to find a place to send CV? Well, receive a CV, no?
I've got a game about emotional circles coming up. Do you
want... You joke, but I do that, and it works. So who's the funny
it's
one now?
So fucking irritating is you just like send an email and people are like, yeah, fuck it. Kind of fuck it. It's because, I fucking hate you sometimes.
To be honest, I despise myself. So it's a good mix.
Yeah, yeah. There's the moment in your life you look back on yourself and go, oh, I hate that.
What a jerk. What a jerk. John Wick. What the hell?
Gotta work with fucking actors for it. And they didn't even phone it in. I was so disappointed when I was playing. I was like, oh, they actually put effort into this fucking script.
Well, let's not turn this completely into the Ian McShane podcast, but yeah, no, they were great. Ian and Lance were just... I mean, yeah, Ian showed up and was like, the last version of this script... He sent me with shit. I was like, yeah, that's why we wrote a new one. He was great. I loved him. He was fantastic. And Lance was just this most professional guy. Accidentally leaked a game to me, though, which was fun, as we were recording.
Oh, wait, what?
I'm not going to say. No, he just mentioned a thing he was working on, and I was like, oh, that's I want to play that. That sounds cool. Yeah.
And here first, ladies and gentlemen, Square Enix are making a John Wick action-adventure streaming.
Lance is in so many things, though, isn't he? He pops up in everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get him, anyone can, really. He's in my book.
He's in your book. He'd be good in a book.
He reads it. He's going to do the audiobook.
He's got a great voice, man. Great voice.
I'm not going to do the audiobook again. That was the worst fucking 3 days of my life.
Doing an audiobook? Because I'm a big listener of them. It's just not fun.
Hated it. I mean, I did it in my house because it was supposed to be a low quality audiobook. We did a really high quality. I did like the best fucking recording quality I could. But I'm a terrible reader because I got fucking ADHD. Yeah. So I just kind of stop talking and zone out, and my brain just gets ahead of my thing. So it took it. I can't. The audiobook runs for like 7 hours, and I think it took me like 20 something to record. But mercifully, I didn't have to edit it. That's Matt's job. It's grunt work. It's Charlie work. Matt does it.
I've heard it. I like the. I've heard the. I've heard it's great for like when you're reading a big book, or sorry, when you're listening to a big book, and like every 8 hours, you notice the actor reading it like perks up, and it's because they've had a sleep and come back into the studio the next day. I love that.
I recorded them in the wrong order to avoid that problem. That's some fucking effort that was completely unnecessary on my behalf.
Did you, for that specific reason, intentionally?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was effort I didn't need to put in. No one. Well, see, because I had a dog toy with me, a squeaky dog toy. So every time I made a mistake, I'd do a squeaky dog toy.
Okay.
And that was, I thought, a really clever idea, because then on the it will peak because it's really loud.
Yeah.
And then it will, you know, you'll see that the where the problem is. And so when you're editing it, for Matt, it will just, he'll be able to go through it.
I love that your entire means of communication with Matt is loud, high-pitched noises. It's good.
Yeah, that's
like a dog. Like a dog. I understand.
Yeah, you know, just how you've got to communicate with him. It's all he responds to. Well, you know, you have to read him in the newspaper if he's not doing very well. But I've stopped letting him shit outside. It's making, sorry. Let's make the joke work. I'm not Chibnall. But, he would have done it in another extra few words. Doesn't matter. I had the squeaky toy, and it turns out it wasn't peaking. So he also had loads of squeaky dog toys to edit out.
Nice.
And across a 7-hour thing, he missed one right near the end. And that was the story of how I make Matt have a... In fact, in the past week, he spent 10 hours editing Michael Gove's face onto tits that I saw in virtual reality.
Oh, was that the... I saw your video go up on YouTube. I didn't click on it. It had the most... I remember it was a very clickbaity thumbnail, yeah.
Oh, no, that's not clickbait, bitch. It is literally me in a virtual reality strip club. Just everything... Because I did monetize my channel.
Yeah.
Because to take the pressure YouTube off. And I'm just like, I'm doing this for fun now. What does everyone do when they rely on Patreon for their income? Oh, I know. I'm going to get my tits out. So I found a VR strip club game. And I just find that whole thing really awkward. And it's just like 7 or 8 minutes of me just being really fucking awkward. But it was full. Like one of the reviews that was a negative review in July was like, can't recommend, no buttholes. And then nice. There's a review from like 6 months later that's like, recommend, they added buttholes.
Oh, God.
So at one point I go, wait a minute, and look and go, can confirm buttholes.
Do you think our grandparents would be proud of the jobs we had?
I mean, my grandparents know the job that I have.
No, fair enough.
And they have seen the title of the book, and they're very, very, very religious.
Oh, okay.
So...
And there is all that blasphemy in it.
There's a little...
Oh, is there a bit of blasphemy? Oh, fair play. Okay.
There's a lot of blasphemy in the second one. Oh, holy shit. But that's a spoiler. We'll get to that eventually. So, Doctor Who, yeah, You may have realised by now, me and Mike just like having a chat, really. That's all we're just
this
having
is,
a little.
Yeah, this is.
This becomes little chats. I really liked. There was actually thematic connection between the monster and the story. You had the monsters were they were the scrappers. They take anything that they could, anything that was useful, and use it as their own, which mirrors Edison. So Tesla was up against basically two Edisons until kind of Edison comes onto his side. You know, it was that sort of. Very Edison vibe from the aliens, which I enjoyed. I thought that was clever.
Mm.
Although they did look like the fucking Rachnos, and there was no getting away from the fact they looked like the fucking Rachnos, and they acted like the Rachnos, and they were the Rachnos. Why were they the Rachnos, Mike? Why did they bring back the Rachnos? Why wasn't there a single line where they were like, you steal everything, you didn't steal that face from the Rachnos? No, this is our face, blah, blah, blah.
By the time all that's kicked in, I was just waiting. Basically, whenever there was one of the scorpions on screen, I was just waiting for it to go back to Tesla. That was my...
The downside of having a good actor in Doctor Who, yeah.
But it was also just... It felt irrelevant. I think that was the problem, was it didn't... It just wasn't an interesting story. And I think that their side of it was... It's kind of... I guess it's the flip side of what you're saying about it being kind of a decent, well-paced kind of Doctor Who story, is that... It was like the writer remembered they were doing a Doctor Who episode and had to quickly get some monsters, some aliens in with an evil plan that required fixing, you know? And it was just a bit... It was formulaic to the point where I just didn't... I could feel my brain passing
as
irrelevant.
Yeah. I don't know what the monsters wanted or whatever. They had Tesla for something.
It was
something,
their engines needed repairing or something, right?
The classic Doctor Who trope. Especially New Who kind of lays on that one a lot. But I did enjoy the intelligence displayed by the queen of the Rachnos or whatever they were called. The Spitalfields, I can't remember. The I don't know. It had like 15 Ks in it. Who gives a shit? After the third K, I mean, it's just not important anymore. That can be applied to many things, that sentence there. If you after the third K, you're just not important anymore. But I feel like the if they were just a different design, I think they would have got away with a lot more from them. Because having the smart queen actually come down, like the doctor's setting this big trap and there's a big fucking tower pointing at the ship. The queen's like, I'm going to go down there because that seems like the safer place to be. That was a nice moment. I felt that landed really well. That was a cool bad guy moment. That was the doctor getting put on the back foot and then using a device we'd already seen in the episode was neat. And that was clever. And tricking the monster and then blowing the monster up because we're not allowed to use guns unless they don't look like guns. The classic Doctor Who rule. I think it worked. I think that monster kind of worked. I just feel like they needed a more interesting plan. Maybe kill the orb kind of subplot and do a little bit of something else.
I forgot the orb. Never has a MacGuffin so pointlessly.
Doctor Who is really tapping into my fucking book at the moment because I've been spent the last few days writing the orb. There's an orb.
There's
always an orb. This is a very special orb. And I'm feeling really good about my writing because I'm watching this going like, nah, my orb's better.
I just want something that feels clever and well thought, like that orb. I want science fiction. I loved the idea but it was a science fiction idea. They just didn't do anything with it. With the orb, where it was like, oh, this is it's an information delivery system. They put it out into the universe. It's a ship in a bottle. That's lovely. So make it that there's not many of them, and this alien race wants to find one because they've been hungry for this information forever but never been able to find it, and they've tracked it finally to a planet as weak as Earth to come and get it.
Yeah.
Give them something
it's
like...
It's a power source, and they want it for the power source. They just want power. It also ties into the Edison thing.
Yeah. Well, that's all they want. I just want something more interesting than the power thing, I think. I just want something that's like an interesting, meaty sci-fi theme and good monsters.
Well, not power, not electrical power. It's the knowledge power.
Oh, the knowledge power.
Which is what Edison was about: stealing other people's stuff and then using it.
There you go. Make it tie it to that theme of the future. And I loved that actually as a concept. The idea of he didn't mind being poor because he had the future. That's a lovely sentiment. Make that your theme of your episode and tie it into the creatures. I just want stuff that doesn't feel like it was generated by. Randomly putting together Doctor Who words. I want it to be like a holistic thematic. Blink is a story about taking chances and about... I keep coming back to Blink, but it is like, it's just such a brilliantly specific episode that specifically has something to say about relationships and about, Blink and you'll miss it. And that's a lovely, interesting idea to play with. And I want more Doctor Who like that, that's saying something or talking about something in a cohesive way. I think that's why I liked Orphan, was because even though it absolutely did not stick the landing and flubbed the last section of that, at least it was
55 minutes.
At least it was an episode that had an opinion about something and something to say. I don't even need something from like a political perspective, but just something that's a thematic. I want theme. I just want theme and imagery. And story and character. These things are...
Oh, you just want fucking everything, don't you, Mike? Pick one.
It's our main cultural export at this point. I want to...
Excuse me, James May's currently in Japan.
That's a really good point. So, yeah, no good for him.
In a show that is really fucking good, because James May is the perfect person to do a travel log, because he's boring enough to do all the little things and actually enjoy them. Right, it's really... Because you have Hammond going around going, oh, I want it like this. And James May's like, oh, I'm going to go do calligraphy for an hour. Fuck it, brilliant. They actually had to kick him out of the third or fourth episode. They had to kick him out of the Yamaha piano factory because they needed to go shoot some other stuff. And he was like, no, they're letting me restring a grand piano. I want to try and do this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to, like, do this bit.
Mm.
And I fucking love that.
I like a nerd. I do like a nerd.
I like you too, Mike.
Oh, I said a nerd, not the nerd. Not the man. Do you ever regret building your entire personality around nerdiness? Or is it just such an intrinsic part, like in terms of the Republic stuff?
I mean, the books and stuff is dropping the whole nerd.
Oh, you're not doing, you're back to good old Daniel Hardcastle for those, are you?
Yeah, okay. It's back to the stage name for those. Gotcha. But yeah, no, I'm still, it's fucking, it's all going to be sci-fi and shit, mate. I ain't going to fucking, you know, the nerdiness is always going to, I fucking embrace that shit.
Yeah, no, fair play. No, I'm just interested. It's definitely not podcast fodder, but I'm just always interested in like folks like yourself, the YouTube, basically YouTubers who are moving on from YouTube. I'm always really interested in the kind of the thought process and shit because it's,
yeah. I mean, I was moving on from YouTube 5 years ago.
I feel like you joined YouTube when we're immediately moving on from YouTube. I feel like I don't think you were ever comfortable there.
Okay, no, it's not because I'm not. Oh, God. This is a sentence I have to start a lot of things with now, but I was talking about this in therapy recently.
Right.
That I am not a performer. I have no performative bone in my body. But when I get put on the spot to perform, I fucking dance like a monkey. Like, I'm just properly, way! And I hate it. Like, I can't stand during it. I'm like, this, it's total autopilot. But, like, if I'm ever have to do something, like, you see the Coxcon footage of my dad's vlog. Because I did a little first thing I ever did on stage. And I was like, I'll do a little thing on stage. I can bring my dad on stage and, you know, that sort of thing. Like, you see me going on stage and I look fucking terrified. Mm. And I walk down to the edge of this thing and I go around and I climb up the stage and I go, way! And then I'm with the crowd, all that sort of shit. It's just, it just kind of clicks on. And there's sort of that personality side is kind of, I'm pushing it away slowly.
That's cool, man. It's an interesting skill. It's a useful skill to have, though, in terms of like for me, definitely, like,
No, because you know what I use it for?
Go on.
I use it to sell video games to people.
That's right.
That's what I fucking use it for. Because I've got that enthusiasm, because I have that in there. I'm just a very... When people meet me, they're always like, oh, you're so quiet. I'm like, yeah, because I'm not a fucking... Hey, yeah, yeah, look, yeah. Look at me. I'm not that sort of person. But like,
plumbers don't walk
me,
around with pipes. Also, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You do your job when you're doing your job. Yeah, no, fair play.
Yeah. I'm like, look at this fucking video game. People are like, this fucking video game made this guy really happy. I should get it. And it's kind of, it's that exaggerated, over-the-top love, but it's the love that I feel inside. It's just not how I would display that love without a camera pointing at me. But when there's a camera pointing at me, I can go, oh, if I do it this way, more people will buy it, and more people will support cool people. So it's been a tool for me to use.
Ah, cool, fair play.
Yeah, this is fucking interesting. So do you not like the fact that your surname is BitHell? Like, that's got to be a...
It's an interesting bit of nominative determinism, isn't it? Because my dad was a programmer as well, so
you do.
I'm second generation coder. So yeah, people think it's made up, which I like. I think that's quite funny. People are actually genuinely like, people ask me what my surname is. I'm like, well, it's Bithel, and they're like, no, really, like, what's your like, no, that's not a stage name. That's the one I was born with. But yeah.
See, my name's Hardcastle. Although it looks good in the book, I will say that's a very sort of, you know,
you could write some very good
thriller.
Kind of murder mysteries. Yeah, I was going to say, walking down a moody street.
Hardcastle at the bottom. Yeah, it's definitely, it's got that vibe.
The sixth Daniel Hardcastle thriller. Yeah.
Ah, so that's 30 years in the future then. Get to it. I'll get to one eventually. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that because I'll start talking about things. There was one more thing I would talk about that was important, and I've totally forgotten
it. Doctor
Who. Yeah, with Doctor Who. It was a Doctor Who point.
Jesus Christ.
It was a Doctor Who point. Yeah, no, about the Tesla episode. Oh, I liked the scorpion monsters.
Good.
I thought the design was all right. It wasn't super cute design. But the chase scene with them all colliding into stuff and falling over themselves was a really clever way to have a really fast monster that they can outrun.
Mm.
And I feel like that was a really nice visual thing of them sort of like clashing and then having a bit of a fight. And it showed sort of a very sort of, you know, that's that animalistic thing they had going on.
Which played out in the scenes as well, where they were taught, where she killed the one who interrupted her.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, there was definitely that element was established. Again, like a consistency from characters. That's good. Glad to see that when
it
happens.
And the director was like, what if you knock over that 2-foot-tall bread bin? Knock that over into the way of the giant scorpions. Well, maybe that'll stop them.
I mean,
we'll give that 3 shots.
That's the best and most well-known technique for stopping a monster in a horror movie. So, I'll be honest, if I was being chased by a giant scorpion, I'd give it a try, you know?
Yeah, a giant scorpion that can climb on walls.
Yeah, no, I would do it anyway, just in case. You never know.
See, I'm always of the opinion that I just shit myself and die on the spot, saving the trouble, really. That's
Yeah. Just opt out.
Yeah. Just, nope.
Fair play.
I'm out. I ain't ticking this box. See you later. I'm gone. And that would be, yeah, that kind of how I go. But no, I thought that episode, even though it was a bit sort of more standard, I felt like standard is a massive fucking improvement on this series so far.
Yeah, no, I grant you, like, safe is good. I'm waiting for the, I want an excellent episode now. I feel we're owed one.
Yeah, we are.
So we'll see. Maybe next week.
Next week's set on Earth again, isn't it? That's a lot of Earth episodes in a row.
Mm.
When was the last time we did? So last season's finale was on Earth. Resolution was Earth. We had two this season to start with on Earth. Last week was on Earth. This was on Earth. Next week's on Earth. We haven't had an alien planet since the end of last season. Every single episode since the end of last season has been on Earth. So over a year since we've left Earth in Doctor Who. But anyway, that was a shit episode of Doctor Who and a pretty good episode of Doctor Who. And according to Mike, two really bland episodes of Doctor Who.
There you go.
What a joyful podcast. Next week...
This was a good use of all of our time.
The Jadoon attack Gloucester or something. I can't fucking remember what that trailer was about. So, good. And goodbye.